The epistle to be read today for the second Sunday after Easter is taken from St. Peter's first epistle, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example that you shall follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, did not revile. When he suffered, he threatened not, but delivered himself to him that judged him unjustly. Who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that being dead to sin, should live to justice. By whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but you are now converted to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. In the Holy Gospel, it's taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But the hireling, he that is not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and flieth. And the wolf catcheth and scattereth the sheep. And the hireling flieth, because he is a hireling, and he hath no care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. As the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. O God, who in order to crush them that hate your church, and restore the beauty of your solemn worship, did choose the blessed pious to be your great high priest. These words are taken from the Mass of St. Pius V, who we commemorate in today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. During one of the most turbulent times of the Church, God raised for us the great Pope St. Pius V. In the year 1566, Pope Pius IV passed away, leaving the chair of Peter empty. The papacy was about to be represented by a name forever glorious in the annals of the Church. The memory of St. Pius V is one most cherished by the faithful, and yet dreadful to the enemies of the Church. This great Pope's feast we celebrate today, and he is the patron of the priests of the congregation of St. Pius V. Many people are not familiar with all the great accomplishments of Pope St. Pius V. Of course, many remember him as the Pope of the Rosary, recalling his connection with the Battle of Lepanto. But he was remarkable for far more than this. He did so much to strengthen the Christian religion and extend the kingdom of God on earth. Michael Ghislieri was born in 1504 in the tiny village of Bosco in Italy. His parents were poor, although they were of a noble family. And at the age of 14, he left home and entered the Order of St. Dominic. After being ordained a priest, Michael was in turn novice master and then prior of the Dominican house. And as prior, he proved to be a wise and charitable administrator for the order of preachers. Already as a young priest, he was known for his great charity, and he was always ready to give comfort and help to those in need and advice to the weak and suffering. Now, about this time, when he was the Dominican prior, he was called upon to combat publicly the errors of Luther, which were beginning to make their way into Italy. And he performed the task so well that a little later, when the Lutheranism was spreading more rapidly, he was made head of the Inquisition at Como. That is, he was in charge of defending the faith against the errors of the Protestants. Now, this duty of inquisitor also made him most hated among the Protestants. In fact, they often tried to kill him. And yet, St. Pius always trusted in God's divine providence. One day he was warned of some impending danger. Some men actually were preparing to kill him. And he simply replied, That shall be as God wills. As superior, he was also given the commission of working with the heretics in the prisons. And he proved to be a true father to them. He brought many back to the faith. Even during his lifetime, people would tell stories how certain persons converted just by seeing him and the charity he practiced. There is one such story of an English nobleman who was converted on seeing him kiss the feet of a beggar covered with wounds and ulcers. Then in 1566, chiefly through the influence of St. Charles Borromeo, Cardinal Ghislieri was elected pope. Because of his humility, it was with great grief that he accepted the office and chose the name Pius V. The first act of his reign was to give the money that was supposed to be for the feast of his election as pope to the poor in Rome. Thus, his love for the poor never ceased. At the time of St. Pius V's election, there was massive problems of immediate urgency throughout the world. It was one of the most crucial times for the church and all of Western civilization. The two major problems to deal with were the Muslims and the Protestants. The Muslims threatened all of civilization with their teachings, which lead to fatalism and the degradation of women. And the Protestants threatened the very heart of Catholicism. We know, of course, of Pope St. Pius V's significant part he played in organizing the army in the Battle of Lepanto, and how he had the Blessed Sacrament exposed throughout all the churches in Rome, and decreed that the Holy Rosary be said before the Holy Eucharist at these altars. And thus, Our Lady obtained the victory for Catholics and saved civilization from the debilitating Muslim belief. However, even before Lepanto, St. Pius contributed much against the Muslims by means of money and whatever support he could. In a letter to the Grand Master of the Order of the Knights of Malta, who were deep in battle with the Muslims, he stated his willingness to die in the battle against the infidels. The Grand Master had written to Pope Pius asking for advice. He explained to the pontiff how the Turks would soon take over the island of Malta. And so he asked if he should abandon and retreat to Sicily when there was still time. "No, remain at your glorious post," St. Pius responded. "Willingly would I hasten to die, God permitting, at your side. But duty binds me here. We shall also afford you all the temporal help in our power, praying the divine omnipotence to guard you," the saintly pontiff wrote. But again, this was just one aspect of his great pontificate. A few other problems he had to deal with was the missions in the New World. With the discovery of the Americas, the religious orders were being sent to convert the native people. But as the missionaries were trying to spread the faith, they were having many difficulties because of the immorality of some of the temporal rulers. Pius V also helped and encouraged the founding of some new orders, namely the Jesuits and the Congregation of St. Philip Neri. And then there was, of course, the problem to keep peace within the church itself, especially with the spread of the heresies of Luther and Calvin. And there was a great need of reform even among the Catholic clergy. In the 6 years of his reign, Pope Pius V had to deal with all these questions, any one of which was enough to occupy his entire time. Now, as you may know, the Council of Trent was coming to a close at the time of Pius V's election. This council is considered the greatest council of the Church. It has systematized and defined all the doctrines of the faith. However, the Church needed someone to put all the council's decrees into effect. Otherwise, all that it had done would have been useless. The Church needed a pope with the fire and zeal of St. Pius V in order to put the decrees into action. And so St. Pius V followed through by enforcing the acts of the council. And thus, he checked the spread of Protestantism. He accomplished, first of all, by reforming the Roman clergy. He restored the discipline and morals first in Rome and then throughout the Catholic world. He knew that in order for the council's decrees to take effect, it was necessary that the priests and clergy be holy. And as one historian said, he stood like a wall of brass against the moral corruption and toiled with unwearied zeal to repress abuses, disorders, and crimes. And then in order for the faith to be known and to keep the errors of the Protestants from spreading, in 1566, he published the Catechism of the Council of Trent. It is the greatest collection of all the Church's doctrines, which had been compiled under the eyes of the council. He then restored the unity of the liturgy by publishing both the breviary and the missal, both of which were used up through by the entire church until about the year 1960, in which our congregation of St. Pius V still uses today. And there's a quote from the decree which states that the Mass should not change, but should be offered as it is in the missal that we use, in order that all may observe in the traditions of the Holy Roman Church. We forbid, St. Pius V wrote, henceforth and forever, that the Mass be said other than is prescribed in the missal published by our order. And thus, God raised at this most crucial time in the Church a great and saintly pope to combat the errors threatening the Church. St. Pius V's reign was full of battles on every front, and yet even in the midst of the war, he practiced and gave us an example of the Christ-like charity. As a great inquisitor, he was inflexible in holding fast to the doctrines of the faith and the liturgy in regard to the Protestants, but he was meek and humble to the repentant sinner. Indeed, he was the model of a truly great pope, a model to whom we should look to today. Pope St. Pius V died at Easter time in 1572, and he was the last pope canonized before Pope St. Pius X. My dear faithful, Pope St. Pius V is our great patron, and now more than ever, we must renew our devotion to him. We ought to be mindful of what he stands for. He held fast to the Catholic doctrine, never compromising his principles. The Protestants tried to destroy the Mass and liturgy. They established new rites, and they took away the true sacrificial meaning in the Mass. And they did this saying they were just going back to the primitive liturgy. They wanted to celebrate the Mass like the early Christians, they said. The Protestants also made the new rite of ordaining priests, thus denying the sacred priesthood. This rite of ordination was later decreed by Pope Leo XIII to be invalid in the year 1896. And yet for all those years before, good Catholics never used these doubtful orders. even though they were declared invalid many years later. The Protestants also began giving out erroneous annulments in divorces, allowing people to remarry, thus destroying the sacred marriage bond. And all of this the Protestants claimed they did in order to return to the primitive form of the faith. And so in returning to the primitive liturgy, they only succeeded in corrupting it. Let us then, my dear faithful, follow the example of our great patron, Pope St. Pius V. Let us hold fast and preserve the teachings of our faith and our beautiful liturgy. We must be like him in this time of crisis of the Church. We must never compromise our beliefs nor give in on our principles when it is a matter of faith and morals. We have to hold on to the traditions of the Church, just as he did against the Protestants. We can never compromise even in the smallest thing, for if we do so, we would fall into error. As G.K. Chesterton admirably states in his book Orthodoxy, the Church is always in monstrous wars about small points in theology. It is only a matter of an inch, but an inch is everything when you are balancing. The Church could not afford to swerve even a hair's breadth on some things. Continuing, he states, it would have been easy to bend a Calvinist or a Protestant and follow the movements of the tide. The difficult thing is, he says, is to keep one's own. And what an adventure that has been. But most of all, my dear faithful, we must follow Pius V's example in having a strong devotion to the Mass and the Holy Rosary. We must not let the trials of daily life or the crisis in the Church discourage us, but like Pope St. Pius V, we have to deal with the errors of the day. We must have the same fortitude and confidence in God that he showed in facing the Muslims and the Protestants. And like this great saint, we must have the same Christ-like charity. As we saw in the story of his life, he converted many sinners and heretics, but he did it by prayer and his virtuous example. He did not do it by mere arguments, but rather when men saw his charity and kindness, they were won over. And so too, we will win many souls for Christ and be able to convince people of the truth, not by mere arguments, but rather by our prayers, especially by the Mass and the Rosary, and by our good example and the charity that we show our fellow men. So let us honor this great Pope, St. Pius V, today, by imitating his holy example and praying to him to intercede for us and the Church in this time of great crisis. And so I end with a prayer that the Church prays to him today. O God, who in order to crush them that hate your Church and restore the beauty of your solemn worship, did choose the blessed Pius to be your great high priest, grant us to be secure under his protection. Having overcome all the snares of our enemies, we may enjoy perpetual peace. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.